Okay, so this is our another episode of our Out Now Nights, where we talk a little bit about other things that, you know, whatever. But this one's going to be a little bit more directed, because the way, way back has been a topic of discussion between Mark and Marcus and myself a little bit. But I want to serve more as a moderator. I just want to hear what Mark and Marcus have to say about the way, way back, because I know one person really, really likes it, and one person doesn't really, really like it. So to discuss this, let's start off on different sides. Let me hear both opinions of the film at first. And I'm going to start, let me start with Mark. Okay, Mark, what did you think of The Way, Way Back?
So I really loved The Way, Way Back. I thought it was a captivating coming-of-age story about a boy that kind of finds himself and what happens one summer. And it enchants not with action or special effects. It's just about people. And it really captures a really authentic group of people, and you learn about their emotions and the way they care. And I just thought that it was a very affecting portrait of a group of people, and I really responded to the drama that was presented.
Marcus, what were your thoughts on The Way, Way Back?
I'm kind of the opposite. I thought it was a generic coming of age story about a kid who nobody understands, and they go on vacation and he meets a girl, or he discovers something that makes him alive for the first time. And it was just way too generic for my own good. I think there's a couple of good, actually there's one really good performance in it. Everything else is, you know, very, very generic. It fits into these little molds. Everybody else fits into these little molds. You know, you got the weird kid that nobody understands, and you got the mom that doesn't understand, just doesn't understand her son, and you got the step whatever, and the step doesn't really care, but he does, but he's very mean. He's just an evil step. You know, and then you have, you know, these kind of quirky side characters that really never step out of their own molds. They're just, one is really quirky and one is really, you know, sarcastic, and, you know, one is really playful, and, you know, you can see where this is going. And if I've explained this movie, and if you've heard any kind of synopsis for this movie, you know exactly what this movie is going to be. You know where it's going to go. And that was my issue with it. That wasn't my issue with it. My issue with it was, we get generic movies all the time, but there's generic movies that are done well, and there's generic movies that do nothing new. And this was a generic movie that did nothing new.
So I would contend that it's not about the destination and where it's going. It's about the journey and the way that these characters interact and unfold, and we get to learn them. It's that, the what's presented. And you can say, you can describe any film, you can describe any romance as, oh, it's about this guy that falls in love with the girl, and they fight and they leave.
But what is this movie about?
Let me finish. So get back together, and you can describe lots of movies like that. It's not about the template. It's about the actual performances. And like that Allison Janney character, she's an outstanding actress in this. I know you didn't specify, but I assume you're talking about Sam Rockwell as the one great performance. Yes. But I think Anna Sophia Robb, who plays the girlfriend, Allison Janney, who plays her mother, Toni Collette, his mom, she's very sensitive and heartbreaking kind of character. You know, it's those performances that make it good. I mean, it's not about the destination.
They all fit into these molds, right? I mean, and you get okay. So name all the characters again. Name all the actors again. And you can fit these molds. None of them step out of any of these molds. I can tell you what they are, how they're going to act, and you can foresee what's going to happen throughout this journey, because this journey is just, it doesn't step out of the box at all. There's nothing new. Like, there's nothing I haven't seen before in this movie at all.
What movie did you see a mother's boyfriend call the son a three?
That was another issue that I had with this movie, that the dialogue was so on the nose. But anyways, not the dialogue itself. The dialogue could be changed and what have you, but the situations are all the same. The situation with the kid who has to overcome, you know, his fear of whatever, and this and that and the other thing. And most films that are these coming of age stories take this template and they add something to it. They add, you know, like I had mentioned to you privately, Perks of Being a Wallflower. They add, you have this generic mold and you add things to it. You add personalities to it and you add stuff that you wouldn't normally see.
But this had personalities. I mean, in the same way that Perks of Being a Wallflower had personalities.
But they weren't anything new. They weren't anything new. You knew where the entire... How do I explain this? There wasn't anything here that you hadn't seen in just any generic coming of age story before, right?
I don't know. I don't buy though that it's like saying a romance. We've seen a man fall in love with a woman before, or something. That the basic story of a coming of age awkward teen. Yeah, that's a common.
But within the journey, like you said before, within the journey, I didn't see anything new.
I didn't expect him. I mean, generally with these coming of age stories, they usually identify with people of their same age. I didn't expect him to identify with a much older man and have this sort of like father like son relationship. I didn't expect that. That Sam Rockwell character was very different.
I would say he's playing off of kind of Bill Murray and Meatballs to that extent.
You have to go back to 1979 to find a movie that, and Sam Rockwell even based it on that. But it was almost a riff on that character. And mm-hmm. I think Allison Janney is kind of an interesting character. I didn't expect her
I thought was an interesting character for a little bit was Steve Carell. He was the most interesting character in the first half of the movie, just because, you know, he was rooting for the kid, but in a very mean and, you know, bullyish way. But he would save him from the kid is dancing with his mother and the neighbor, and he saves him. He turns off the music, and it's very, you know, multi-layered character. But even then, he falls into this. You know, I'm just a mean tan guy, and you will respect me, and I've seen it before.
But it doesn't play out like that. Then he gets caught.
It does play.
No. Then he is found out, and then he starts to get worried about maybe I am going to lose this woman. So that doesn't – he sort of – the tables are turned on him at one point. That's not expected. He does change.
I kind of agree with Marcus on this. I do think it leads to a scene that has – everyone at the same location at the same time in that big party scene, and there has to be some kind of result from all of this. I think that follows a certain pattern. To step in just a bit here, because as much as I do like the movie, and I'm trying to kind of stay out of it because I don't want to be like two on one with Marcus, and I will say that what I take away from the movie is it does follow a very it follows a template for sure, and what separates it is certain. There's not special attention with the direction. I would say there's not a whole lot of in terms of visual flair or construction of the film. I agree with Mark that it is the personality of these different characters that really makes it work for me, and that's why I appreciate it so much. And just to add one other point, because I know I've pointed out that I've done interviews with the cast several times. I saw the movie 2 months before I ever talked to any of them, and I already liked the movie quite a bit. Just wanted to shout that out for the sake of myself.
I mean, and these are superficial things, but. The whole thing takes place in a water park. That's not expected. He gets a job at the water park. I didn't expect that.
You can replace this with a summer camp. You can replace this with anything.
Did you expect him to get a job at the water park?
From the commercials, sure. I expected him. There needed to be somebody who understood
him. You saw the trailer,
him.
But that's cheating. If you just were watching the film, you wouldn't expect him to get a job at the water park. That was sort of unexpected.
Yes, because I honestly thought he was gonna lean more towards the girl because this is how it goes. But he did get the job at the water park. But then I saw, okay, I can, you know, he had the interaction with Rockwell earlier, right before he got this job, and Rockwell is going to serve as his father figure mentor, and now I can see where it's going. I can tell you what's going to happen at the end.
But he's not he's not the traditional father figure that knows all the answers. And he's kind of a screw-up.
That's why he's the best part of the movie.
Okay, but so you're saying it's every character is like predictable. That was not predictable. We didn't expect that. And the other thing too, Anna Sophia Robb, you could have easily made, because he's kind of a gawky teen, you could have easily made all of his peers treat him like a nerd and, you know, treat him like a pariah. But she, for some reason, sort of distances herself from her friends. Maybe she's drifting away from them, and she's drawn to this kid.
I've seen the same thing. I've seen this in Garden State. Where Garden State, Natalie Portman is the girl that's quirky and she really doesn't go with the flow.
See, I wouldn't say that Anna Sophia Robb's character is quirky at all, though. There's nothing about her.
She's quirky because she doesn't go with the flow. She's not quirky Zooey Deschanel quirky. She's just off the beaten path, and it's, you know, it intrigues him, and you know, you can see where I'm going with this. Even by my description, you can see where I'm going with.
But I don't think she was quirky. She was like the pretty girl, and you don't expect her to be drawn to this kid.
So there's a group of girls, right? And she is connected with this group of girls.
We understand that she
we understand
history, that she has a history of these girls that they're
she's connected with them. They expect her to. There's scenes where they expect her to go out and
hang out at the beach with them, go out with boys with them, yeah,
and whatnot. And, you know, she really doesn't want to do it because, you know, she's kind of in her own little world, and, you know, she doesn't think that's cool, and she doesn't, you know, she's off the beaten path and something's different about her and, you know, whatnot. I did on one hand think it was going to go that way. There was going to be a girl and he was going to meet a girl and the girl was going to change his outlook on life and what have you. I didn't expect it to go the Rockwell way as much as it did, but once he was introduced, that's where it was going. I knew where it was going right away.
Well, if you're saying that you expected him to come into his own and be, you know, have confidence, yeah, of course. I mean, that's, I would say there's tons of movies that you kind of know where it's going, but again, it's not about the destination, it's the journey and the conversations and what they say and how it plays out.
What does that say about the journey?
But I don't think the conversations are predictable. And I don't think Sam Rockwell, I mean, I've mentioned Sam Rockwell, Anna Sophia Robb, Allison Janney, Toni Collette, Steve Carell. I don't think those characters are like people I've seen a million times. I think the way they interact and what they say is different.
Really? Okay. When I knew that I was going to get something pretty generic, when he had his interaction, I can say like stuff that happened in the movie, right? In this one, spoilers.
Yeah, go for it. Yes.
Okay. When he had his, I was just making sure.
Said a lot.
That's right. When they were in the arcade, right?
Yeah.
And they're having that whole conversation about Pac-Man, but it's kind of really not about Pac-Man. And he says, make your own path. And I was like, okay, well, I know what I'm getting into now. I know where this is going. This is going to be some generic thing where a kid is he's the only kid that wears a life vest because he's the safe one. And where they're going to be playing a game of, you know, Candyland or whatever, and we'll just have a long discussion about taking shortcuts, but it's not really about taking shortcuts in the game. So, Robert, okay, I can see where this is going. These are generic kind of checkpoints that this movie just checks off. And while the performances try to get, I'm not saying the performances are bad, the performances try to get it to rise above the generic, it just didn't work.
I mean, I don't understand like why wearing a life jacket was checking off a box. I mean, that was something that Steve Carell made him do. It was almost like a demeaning thing. I mean, I guess I just don't agree with that being checking off a box. Where have you seen that before?
Well, you see these characters that are, they have to wear something or they have to, you know, they do a certain thing that makes them off-putting to other people.
I think it's being put into a situation by an antagonistic character that makes you embarrassed to everyone else on the
screen. Yeah, so this is a checkpoint that is put into these coming of age movies. They are.
But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean,
there's nothing wrong with it if they did more with it. If they did something different. I could see from point one where this movie was going. And
well, I mean, would you have liked it better if he
I would have liked
didn't
Brooks
get
in Wallflower.
Yeah,
I'd seen. But
there
are. It's a generic mold, and it is made into something more than
right. But what did you like about Perks of Being a Wallflower?
Well, the characters started off as that generic mold, but they built on something. There was backstory, and that was just beyond. There's a rape backstory. There was stuff that was just under the layers. Here, there was nothing that was really under the layer. There were these molds that you started off with, right? This guy, he's doesn't really, you know, he's not, nobody really understands him. He's just a dorky kind of outcast, whatever. It doesn't really get any deeper than that with him. It's just how he is the entire time.
I think his performance made it deep. I think he felt like a real character. It could have been superficial. It could have been like, oh, I've seen this before, these kind of superficial, you know, kids that don't adjust to life or whatever, and you know, then they come into their own. But he seemed like a real kid, like I actually almost felt like he was that guy. Like, I'm sure he was just acting, but he seemed very sort of awkward. And I mean, I thought Liam James is the name of the actor. I thought he was excellent as the star.
Just to point out something, just because I want to say one thing. The kid, Liam James, I was impressed for the film's decision to make him be a kid that is moping for like a good portion of the movie until he, you know, finally gets to open up. Like a lot of movies would try to establish him as like a likable outcast or something like that. I think it does if there's something to take that's different about this film, it does.
Another thing that I really just reminded me. Okay, so there are these scenes where Steve Carell is just a real jerk to him, and he's like biting his tongue, and you can see him fuming. And it would be so easy for the writers to write, you know, you effing asshole, and you know, he could have gone off on him, but he bites his tongue. That was not expected. I did not expect a kid to bite his tongue and just listen to him. That's not the standard trope for a film like this. It's to have him, you know, go off on him and the audience clap and say, yeah.
He does go off on him.
No. He bites his tongue scene after scene. It isn't until much later that he finally does.
And then there's a climactic point where he does go off on the guy, right?
But how many times does it go through where he doesn't say anything? They could have easily done that. I thought that was unexpected.
That goes with his character, right? This is this generic character that will bite his tongue, and he's bullied and bullied and bullied, and then he finally stands up for himself.
I didn't find him to be a generic character.
I mean, I think this is just where we kind of
Have a fundamental difference with agreeing on when it's too much to appreciate.
If you're going to fault this film though for going over standard generic things, you'd almost have to fault virtually, you know, I don't know what percent of movies, but I mean almost any romance, you know, where two people fall in love. I mean, where they fight, they disagree, and then they get back together. I mean,
that's true.
A standard. I mean, and
There are standards, but then there are standards that think outside of the box and do things differently.
And also calling a coming-of-age film like generic is like calling an action film generic. I mean, it's too broad of a definition. If I saw another coming-of-age story about a kid at a water park who met an older guy who helps him, then I would say, oh yeah, I've seen this before. But there's things about this film that are different, that tweak the formula. And yes, I'm not saying it's not a formula, but it's a formula that is done very well.
I don't agree. I think if you have an action film, there are good and bad action films, and what makes a good action film most of the time a memorable or you know, that history finds favor with, is something with a story that thinks outside of the box.
Right, but you can say, oh, I know where the action film is going. The guy's going to fight. He's going to fall down. He's going to come back, and he's going to triumph. Yeah. And in the end, everything has happy. I mean, but you can say that about any movie.
Like you said, the journey
You're
is –
You're faulting this movie for things that virtually every movie is guilty of. I mean, it's every movie follows a standard path.
Every movie follows a standard path, but the ones that are good think outside. They do something different. There's something different. There's something memorable. This one, it was ticking off boxes. It was very generic the entire way through. There was one character that I liked that was outside. If every character, or if there was like two characters, three characters that did what Rockwell did, I would have been okay. These characters are these writers are thinking outside of the box, but no, that it seems like they had to come back and tick off some boxes, and we have to go here, we have to go there, and he has to bite his tongue for a little bit, and then he has to go off at the dinner party.
Even to play devil's advocate, even Sam Rockwell behaves in a manner that's expected. I mean, I don't know if he is any more original than any other character. I don't know why you're singling him out.
I think his performance was better than everybody else's.
So you
not
didn't
to say anybody else,
Allison
not
Janney.
Else.
You didn't think Allison Janney's performance was good.
Yeah, I'm not saying any of the performances were bad. Her performance was good too. I just didn't like her character. Was very generic to me. Her character was the annoying neighbor, the Mrs. Kravitz, and I'm just drinking all the time. And I don't leave the house without my wine glass, and you know. Okay, I get it. We get it. I get it. One scene, you know, I don't need five scenes. That's what I'm saying. I think this is just – it's so generic that it didn't let me in. It didn't give me anything new. It didn't give me anything that I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. Oh, wow, this is a new way to handle this. That situation, it just was like, okay, all right, I know this scene's coming up. All right, they're at a dinner party. All right, when does he go off? And I just didn't enjoy it as much as everybody else did, I guess. I don't see how a lot of other people didn't see that.
Any other thoughts on
No, I mean, I think we pretty much said what.
Yeah, pretty much.
Know, I think a lot of it just comes down to performances and creating characters that you're engaged with, and you know you weren't engaged by these characters, they didn't captivate you, and me
you
they
seem
did.
To have locked on to these characters, right? Like these characters, you had a bond, you formed a bond with somebody here, right? You somebody here was familiar to you.
Well, I was captivated by the lead. I thought that his odyssey was interesting, and I cared to see – I wanted him to succeed. Yeah. And, you know, there was the various characters in his life that I thought added to that. Mm-hmm. I just thought there was – the whole thing. I mean, even the guys that work at the two directors, Nat Faxon and Jim Rash, that work at the – water park. I mean, even they're very tiny little throwaway parts, but even they were humorous. I mean, they're just the whole thing. And Rob Corddry and Amanda Peet, who play this couple who, you know, are friends with Steve Carell and Toni Collette, and what's going on behind the scenes with these people. And I mean, there's a lot of things going on in this film. I just don't know how you can just say, oh, the whole thing is generic. I mean, there's too many parts to this movie, I feel. But I mean, you explained it. You said that you just felt like you knew exactly where it was going, and you know, so I mean, I understand what you're saying. I just didn't I didn't feel that way.
And I guess there's, to be fair, I didn't connect with anybody here. I didn't connect with anybody. And I went to see this with somebody, and they really connected with the main character, and this was them. And that I really think that's a big reason that they like this, and I didn't connect with anybody either.
Yeah,
so
I don't think you have to see yourself in the main character. I think you just have to, I mean, this is going to sound like a dig, but I just feel like you have to have a heart. I mean, you just have to you have to care for a child who doesn't feel like they fit in. And if you have sympathy for that kind of a personality, then you're probably going to like it. But maybe, I mean, maybe that doesn't, I don't know, that doesn't hold sympathy for you. So, you know, it might be harder.
I think if it would have been, if the child would have been more developed, and if I would have known, if there has been layers to this child, I think I would have been more compelled by the child. But I pinned him right away, and they showed me nothing different. So I, other than being wildly connected with anybody in this movie, I kind of had to take it for what it was, in my eyes, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. All right, guys, I think we've hashed out this debate as far as it's gonna go. Certainly see on different sides of the fence on the way, way back. Anything else? What else is going on?
No, I think that's it.
Thanks again,
I want to like get you to like the movie.
Yeah.
That's not going
to
happen.
Maybe I have to go see it with you or something.
No. I mean, I can tell. You know what? Most films are an emotional experience, and then you can sit there and explain why you didn't like it. But if it doesn't grab you, then it's just, I don't think.
And I guess that's what I meant by having a connection. I didn't have that emotional connection to the film, to any of the characters, to anything really. So I kind of took it as, for what it was. And to me, it was generic. It didn't have any, it didn't resonate like it did with the person that I went with. They were like, oh, wow, this is just spot on. And, I've been through this, and this film as a whole connects with me in some facet.
Mm-hmm.
I get that way too.
And
friends where like I want them to like something and they just refuse to. It's really irritating.
Yeah. I'm in the minority with this because everybody in the theater. I was in the theater it wasn't too packed, but it was like half full, and everybody in the theater seemed to be enjoying themselves. And I was kind of afterwards, when I read the Rotten Tomatoes stuff and I started getting a lot of reactions, I was really wondering how I didn't connect with this film a lot more, honestly.
I often like use the on the Internet Movie Database, the rating that's on there. I kind of use that as sort of a guide as how the general public likes a film. Not critics. So there it's 7.8, which is, that's high. Like anything seven or up, it's hard for movies to get higher than seven. So anything less than seven is, well, like 6 to 7 is like fine. Anything less than 6 is kind of bad. And anything higher than a 7 is pretty good. So yeah, I think both critics and the public, because sometimes you can look at Rotten Tomatoes and see the percentage, but that doesn't really give you an idea of what the general public feels. It's just sort of what critics think.
So it's
kind of a different thing.
Okay. Like,
by the way, this is totally a separate thing, but when you were talking about Only God Forgives, and I thought of Holy Motors, another film. Have you seen, I just watched it, Upstream Color?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
I know you've seen it, Aaron. I read your review, but have you seen it, Marcus?
Yeah, I did.
And what did you think of it?
I didn't really like it. I didn't really care for it. I couldn't.
Right. Well, that would play into the fact that we didn't like Holy Motors. But Aaron, I saw you. I know you weren't crazy about it, but you liked it. And it seems, I don't know, it seems like it's very much of the one of those Holy Motors types films. Like, it's a little bit. It is different. But
in Holy Motors, I mean, I don't go back to change my reviews. But Holy Motors is a film that stuck with me, and if I had to write about it again, I'd probably write about it differently and give it a bit of a higher rating. That's happened only a few times.
And actually, I gave Holy Motors 2 stars, and there are things about Holy Motors that I like more than I did rate Holy Motors higher because I gave Upstream Color 1.5 stars. I really didn't like it. But one of the reasons I didn't like it was that soundtrack was awful. I mean, Upstream Color. I could not stand the soundtrack. It was like wind chimes, and then they kind of show them, even the one guy that collects the sounds, they show him getting it, and it just, I mean, I almost felt like I was in solitary confinement and I was being like tortured, you know, like, you know, in like the War on Terror, I was being tortured with sounds. Like so the soundtrack, I had a hard time with it. It was one of the few times where a soundtrack actually ruined the film. There were interesting images, and it was sort of like, okay, let's try to piece these things together. And I might have enjoyed, like, another film I saw recently too, and I never even wrote a review on it, but was Beyond the Black Rainbow. And that I love that. And you would think I wouldn't, because I didn't like Holy Motors.
I wouldn't think you'd like that movie. I was surprised, actually.
I love
it. What is that one about?
Beyond the Black Rainbow. It's like one of the science fiction kind of things, but the soundtrack is so weird. And it's like, it's like some like old
80s.
Yeah, it's like some 70s, late 70s, early 80s unearthed like movie. I mean, it's a recent film, but it feels like something old.
It's very much made to kind of invoke an old 70s weird sci-fi.
I really liked it a lot. Like, I mean, I probably would give it at least 4 stars. I don't know,
I'm putting a link to the trailer for you, Marcus, for that movie. Okay. I saw that movie at
And that's actually a movie that did not get good reviews. Holy Motors did, and Upstream and Color did, and Beyond the Black Rainbow did not resonate with critics for some reason.
Did Upstream Color get good reviews?
It did. Yeah, it got really good reviews.
With Upstream, I think I actually am surprised that Beyond the Black Rainbow didn't get the same kind of regard. With Upstream Color, I think what I didn't mind the soundtrack for one thing. I actually liked the soundtrack in that movie, but what I enjoyed in Upstream Color, I think, is I really liked the girl. I really liked Amy Simons. I like that actress in general, and I was into kind of her confusion amidst this film. That kind of it. Carruth operates on a different level in his making. Mm-hmm. Same with Primer as well, where Primer is a very it's certainly a hard film to like get into, but it works on this kind of mechanical level. And Upstream Color is like this weird opposite organic level of depiction. And that I was into it enough where I like literally had like this like crazy change in reaction when I was watching a certain scene involving when you see like the pig connected to the girl, and it's it was like
the connections, though, they're really ambiguous.
In terms of what it all means, that's regardless. But I mean, just like I was just so into it while I was watching it. I'm like I guess that means I liked it. I guess like I kept thinking about it afterwards, so I had enough to appreciate
it. This movie, Upstream Color, kind of strikes me as one of these films that. There's the kind of things I hate this, where like film students hold it over people who don't get it. And if you don't like the film, then they say, oh, well, you just didn't get it. You're just not smart enough. And I wrote a review, and I understood the film. I mean, as much as I could, but I think I understood it for the most part. And I said, I still didn't enjoy it. I just found the main couple boring. And I feel like it's basically a romance. I mean, it's basically about these two people falling in love. But it's sort of with all this other science fiction kind of stuff. And I got these comments on my blog about, oh, it's so obvious. I can't believe you didn't understand it. And, you know, I'm like,
well. I mean, yeah, I can't speak for assholes like that. But I mean,
it's the type of movie that is shown like in the background of like hoity-toity hipster parties. Kind of, it has that feel. That's how I took it. It was very ambiguous and everything. Like I said, with Only God Forgives, it's one of those movies where somebody will talk about it and defend it for, you know, 12 hours and see stuff that's probably not there and, you know, write dissertations on this. And it just.
Yeah, but I can't blame movies for that. Like I can't. And I know you're not doing that either. But it's just like if I have to, you know, grade these things on a subjective level, I found Upstream Color to be interesting to me for whatever reasons, and I tried to write about it accordingly. I get that, Mark. Yeah, obviously you didn't like it. Like I had different. I had kind of thoughts in the. Towards kind of the positives of it, and appreciated certain things about it.
Because I liked Primer for what it was. I mean, I thought it was.
I'd say Primer's better.
I think Primer's a more developed idea. I would say.
Right. I find those films different. Primer was more just a little bit. It was very like intellectual, and so you had to kind of And that I sort of feel like I didn't understand it all, and I wasn't crazy about Primer, but I liked it better. This felt different. This was more just, I don't know, just weird and not enough storytelling elements for me. I couldn't get into the two main people. Like, their conversations were boring to me. I didn't think that Shane Carruth is a good actor either. Like, I thought his when he's delivering his lines, they just, it seems like a bad soap opera or something. I mean, that's not the only thing that kept me from enjoying it, but I wish he could have cast someone a little bit more interesting or something. And also another thing too that bugged me, she shot the guy that I think was sort of helping her. I mean, he's the guy that dewormed her. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of a weirdo too, because he seems like he's sort of playing God with these people, but he did deworm her, and he's not the guy that actually infected her with the worms, the thief. So I feel like she should have shot the thief, but that's another thing.
See, that's going to pull me into having to think about this movie, and I just don't want to do that, right?
I know. So,
like, just to try to provide some kind of answer to that question.
All right.
Yeah.
Good discussion.
Discussion, guys. I'm glad I kept the recording going, by the way, because I got to edit around that to get that in there. Okay. But cool. Thank you again, guys, for sticking around.
All right.
Yes, thank you.